Welcome to the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society. Welcome to ITSP Magazine Podcast Radio. Join us on our journey into the past, the present, and the future as we explore the relationship between technology and humanity. Together, we are going to find out what it means to live in a society where everything is connected and the only constant is change. Knowledge is power, now more than ever. BugCrowd's award-winning platform combines actionable contextual intelligence with the skill and experience of the world's most elite hackers to help leading organizations identify and fix vulnerabilities, protect customers, and make the digitally connected world a safer place. Learn more at bugcrowd.com. Devo unlocks the full value of machine data for the world's most instrumented enterprises. The Devo Data Analytics Platform addresses the explosion in volume of machine data and the crushing demands of algorithms and automation. Learn more at devo.com.
All right, Marco.
Sean.
The future has been elevated.
Absolutely. Our future has been elevated.
Our future has been elevated. The future of the next generation has been elevated. It's never enough, though, right? We can't sit on our laurels and say we've reached the plateau. I think we, as we were kind of touching on before we started, we do a full circle sometimes and take what we learned in that round and apply it to what's next.
Yeah, and just to break a news for you, the future never arrived. It's always in the future.
Future was yesterday, you just missed it.
Exactly. It's always coming, and we're going to actually tease something very special by the end of this episode.
Absolutely.
With our friends at Elevate the Future, something that we're really excited about. So stay tuned until the end of this conversation. And actually, as to kick in into that secret that we're going to reveal at the end, today, Ellen from Elevate the Future, which has been with us quite a bit on this podcast. I think, Sean, am I wrong? As she was always on.
Ellen's been on every one of these episodes where we're looking at the program, and she's been on a couple others as well. So
exactly. And today, because she's always been on, we're just going to sit down on the couch and enjoy the conversation because she's going to co-host this episode.
Yes. So Ellen, it's good. Mm-hmm. Good to have you on again. Always thrilled to hear what you're up to and what the team is up to. Let's hear what's going on. This is all about taking action, right? So looking back, what have we done and what can we do to move forward? So why don't you run with it here, and who do you have with you today?
Great. Yeah. Thank you so much for having me again. It's always great to be on one of these podcasts to talk about, you know, academics, the future, and overall what we're doing as the younger generation. So with me, I have Ashwin and Radwan. Do you guys want to quickly introduce yourselves?
Yeah, sure. Hi, I'm Ashwin. I'm the co-vice president of Elevate the Future in San Diego.
Yeah, I'm Radwan. I'm also a co-vice president for Elevate the Future San Diego, and also a global ambassador for Elevate the Future.
Love it. And familiar names and voices for many as well, right? Right, Ellen?
They've been on from the first episode. So great to have them back. All right, so I know we've talked a lot about what we have been doing and what we hope to do, bringing education to students. And I think now would be a good time to look towards, now that we talked about how students learn and the way the education system has been lacking, how we can further improve and catch up to the ever-changing, you know, technology and bring in more events and bigger things with Elevate the Future going forward. So Ashwin or Radwan, do you want to kind of preview that and kind of the bigger plans as we think about the future?
Yeah, I mean, you touched on a good point, how the technology field is ever-changing and there's always new things coming up. There's always things changing. So I guess a big part of like what we do is changing with that. So like, for example, we have a new cybersecurity course coming up. We've had to like adjust the curriculum for that with new findings and what we think like will be beneficial going forward looking towards the future.
Yeah, also to add on, as Radovan said, since the field of technology is expanding so much, we want to equip our students with the resources and ability to maneuver the world of technology easily. So in the future, you will see classes like using web frameworks, developing mobile suites and apps, things like that.
I'm going to jump in here because I really love the fact that you guys are talking about changing with technology, and the pace of technology is pretty quick, but so is the pace of society. And it's interesting, I think, Ellen, if we could touch maybe before you go in more detail explanation about what is coming up, what have you guys learned from what you've done so far, which has not been that long, but I'm sure it's enough to get some experience and maybe turn it into what you are about to do in the future.
Yeah, personally, through holding these classes, being able to impact hundreds of students within San Diego and also across the United States, I think one big thing that I've learned is that how students learn, and also how we can help students in unlocking their potential and helping them build their own futures. So I think one of the things from our most recent event, which was a web development class, one of the things that I've learned myself is that we can teach students these concepts about how coding works or how to code. But once they've already gained that initial knowledge, it's really about the resources you provide as well. So one thing that I found out is that after the web development class, we took a look at these websites that students were building and all their ideas and thoughts about what they can use with these different coding knowledge. And once we took a look at everything they were able to create, we decided that the next step would be to buy them domains, because we saw all of these wonderful websites and all these ideas that they wanted to apply their websites to. And we saw that the next big thing that we could do is not just teach them more information, because they can go and research that by themselves, but giving them the funding to be able to buy their professional domains. So that's one major lesson that I learned, is that we can give them the resources. We can give them the knowledge, but another really important thing is the resources that we provide them, because those resources are what really allow them to pursue more opportunities. And I know Radwan was also a big part of this web development class. So Radwan, do you want to talk a little bit about some lessons that you maybe learned?
Yeah, I was really surprised after holding a few classes like the capabilities and like the potential students coming in that have no computer science knowledge at all. They've never programmed anything before, what they can achieve in the end. I know for me, like I got into making websites pretty much exactly a year ago when I started high school. I tried to make like myself a website, and I had to go through a lot of iterations, try to find like learning resources, I guess. And I was really surprised at like how many people were able to pick up the same material that I tried to figure out myself when we taught it to them in an organized fashion. They had websites full running, working websites up in just, I think it was 2 weeks. So that really surprised me, the potential they had.
Yeah, and Ashwin, I know you're a big part of the Python, initial Python class that we held. So if you gained any insights that you could share.
Yeah. After the first couple Python workshops or classes, I was really interested in how the students were learning. Like Radwan said, they were picking up things really quickly. And it really interested me how we can structure our curriculum and how we can apply how the students learn to efficiently give them these knowledge and resources. So I think this is like really pivotal, especially moving forward. Being able to understand how to teach them, how they actually understand and really absorb the concepts, and how we can apply that to our curriculum in the future.
And Ellen and Ashwin and Radwan, both, all of you. So you're looking to continue to grow what you're offering. So how are you using technology to help with that? And how do you collect the feedback? Is it one-on-one with the individual students, or is there a way that they can contribute back and share with the community at large? And are you able to leverage and implement technologies to help with that, which then helps you drive things forward?
Yeah, so I think we care a lot about the students' feedback and how they feel about the classes because everything that we do and all of our future plans are all surrounding what students want and what they think is best for their own learning and growth. So for collecting feedback, generally we like to collect feedback after each event that we hold. So gaining students' insights into what they liked about the classes, what they didn't like, and also most importantly, what they want to learn next. So we collect this feedback in order to know what to plan for the future, because obviously we really care about the students' interests and what they like. So for example, we can provide to them a bunch of these ideas like cybersecurity courses, or if they want to learn more about game development, all of these different topics. And we basically allow them to give their input on what they want to learn. And based off that, we structure everything around their responses, and also take into account their feedback and us as we're planning for our future events and classes.
Very good, very good. So now that we have kind of talked about what you have done so far, I know that the goal of this podcast in particular is to kind of give a hint about what is coming up. So I know that you have a little bit of an agenda about the things that you want to cover. So go ahead and do that, and we'll try to stay away from from chiming in too much because we get excited when you when we hear you describing what you do. It's very, very, very exciting.
Go ahead, Ashwin.
Oh yeah, okay, thank you. So yeah, coming up in the future, we have different kinds of events for the classes we are planning. Like I said before, we're trying to give them experience with different ways they can create websites with web frameworks. Also, giving them exposure to iPhone or Android like apps, because that's something a lot of people find fun in making. But we're also really interested in making different kinds of events where we can get important people in different industries to maybe speak with people and give their insight on how to do certain things. And we were also planning on doing some hackathon sort of events, but that's all coming up.
Yeah, we had we talked about changing and moving forward with the future and adapting. I think a big part of like what we've been doing so far is a lot of technical work. And I know for me, and I'm pretty sure it's the same for a lot of kids that I know, they don't really know what they want to do when they grow up in terms of what field they want to go into, like what kinds of things they're interested in. So we had the idea of bringing in some industry experts, maybe some people that created some cool products or worked in a cool field, and have them kind of talk about what they do and ask them a few questions on what their experience has been like, and maybe even some tips to get students to like identify more career opportunities that they didn't know before. Like I thought that I would just program like websites and phones my whole life, but I recently have been looking into aerospace. I think it'd be really cool to program rockets. So kind of like spark some inspiration like that in some of our students.
That's pretty cool. That's definitely the next level up.
Yeah, and like with what Asher and Rodwin said, I think what we're really trying to do at this point is we've given students kind of like a taste and allowed them to kind of experience a little bit of what they want to go into future. But like Rod once said, for me and for a lot of other students, the future for them seems pretty open, and there's so many possibilities and different careers and fields that they can go into. We really want to also provide them with the resources and opportunities to discover these fields. So I know a big one is cybersecurity for a lot of students to go into, and also just introducing them to a variety of different careers that they might not have known or realized how much potential there was in before, and see if it aligns with their interests. So, like Rodwan and Ashwin said, we're planning a summit where these students can actually go and learn from these experienced industry professionals and get a feel of where they want to go in the future and kind of explore all these different fields. So I know we talked about a lot about technology and how we can adapt with it. So I think one other thing that I want to touch upon is how do we see ourselves moving forward with technology? So what platforms might we use and what other ways can we reach more people using technology?
Yeah, so one thing we've been exploring, certainly from the beginning, is learning through application. So in our first Python class, we had projects sprinkled throughout the course. So you'd create something and you'd use the knowledge that you learned from the course, of course, to build those things. And then the web development class, the project was to create your own website about whatever you wanted. Going forward, we're trying to make it more interactive. So for example, for the cybersecurity class, we're thinking of having a sort of CTF hacking competition, which the students would use things they learned from the class to solve challenges and gain points with those challenges in a sort of competition environment. It'd be a friendly competition, but interactive things like that are really what we're looking for, because we found that students learn best that way.
Yeah, also being able to take advantage of these technological resources, like the platform that we're creating the cybersecurity CTF build on, and things like being able to use domains and host their websites. These kinds of technologies are the ways we're trying to expand and allow the students to gain like hands-on experience and be able to actually learn using these types of technology.
Yeah, and I wanted to maybe touch on this, the point that you made about rockets. And I think that is so cool. And I'm wondering, because you briefly touched on the idea that you're connecting what you're doing in the teaching to opportunities in the workplace, right? And in careers. So how do you bridge that gap to say it's not just technology, it's not just cybersecurity, but it's cybersecurity in space, and it's technology in space that's hardware and software and data and algorithms and all this stuff. How do you help make that connection to get the students really excited about what's possible?
A big part of that, I think, is theme. I guess kind of like the atmosphere you put things into. It's really easy to incorporate very technical ideas into like a more fun and immersive way. For example, if you were to say you have this cipher and we need you to decrypt it because there's some secret messages hackers are sending, as opposed to saying decrypt this, you can see like the contrast between how interesting that would be versus not as interesting. So it's certainly things like that, appealing to, I guess, what students would practically see or want to see instead of just like book knowledge.
Absolutely. I have a personal memory as you're saying this. And I think the reason why I never really got into math is because in high school, my teacher was horrible. It was just about numbers and formulas, never being able to apply that to something that is concrete and actionable and say, hey, you're resolving this formula because by doing this, you're resolving this problem in real life in a pragmatic way. And on the other hand, I had fantastic like philosophy professors and literature that they just make me see a completely different world. So I think that knowing why you're doing something, it's key.
Or even exploring to understand why, right? Because you may not know.
Yeah.
I think as a kid, you want to, and as you're approaching adulthood, you want to know that there are things out there that haven't been solved. And how cool is it that you could be part of finding the solution to the problems? And maybe even the problems aren't even known yet.
Yeah, it gives you that kind of sense of adventure.
And exactly.
And this is how you actually connected with the capture the flag of the gaming, or Ellen, the thing that we talked in one of our first episodes about how you teach and how you learn by getting excited about things.
Yeah, definitely. I think we're really trying to focus and hone in on the idea of trying to make the experience as immersive as possible for students. And trying to like Rodwin said, put it into a scenario where they can actually feel like they're applying their skills and that they're actually doing something meaningful with this technical knowledge that they learn. So I know that the next big event that we're planning is a summit for students to learn about educational opportunities and career opportunities. And we're also planning a cybersecurity course that's more immersive. So Rodwin, do you want to talk a bit more about what that course and what that program will entail?
Yeah, so the central idea of the cybersecurity course is the philosophy that we're going into it is to take very technical things and then put it into, again, a fun environment. So we're structuring it where we would have teaching in the beginning, teaching topics, maybe having a few problems to solve. And then the main objective, I guess, or like the main part of the course would be at the end, we'd have a whole competition, a capture the flag competition, where you would use all the things that you learned from the course to solve problems. So in that way, it's like using the technical knowledge for some fun application, like hacking or defending, stuff like that.
Yeah, also in the, like Rodwin said, in the earlier part of the cybersecurity class, we're teaching topics that include things like being able to determine if something is like a scam, like analyzing emails, seeing whether it is genuinely truthful or not. And then again, it does build the really important skills. Like as we were saying, how in general, technology is advancing a lot. It's almost like necessary for students to be able to like know how to be safe online, considering a lot of the world is online, especially now during the pandemic.
Yeah, a lot of it's about... I'll make a quick comment because I think it's interesting that you're touching on a critical piece here, which is there aren't right or wrong answers to a lot of this. Learning technology and cybersecurity and business is a lot about identifying what the questions are you need to ask so that you can then figure out, is there an answer? And if not, what are the answers? There may be more than one. And which path do you want to take? Some of them may be less moral or ethical than others, and some may generate greater impact to society than others as well. So I think that that thought process and thought provoking and decision identifying and decision making part is really cool.
Yeah, I liked what you just touched upon, like how even in computer science, or even specifically in computer science, it's not so much like compute, it's problem solving. And I think a lot of people get caught up in I need to be like a programming a computer myself. I need to be able to like spit out code and just grind out all this stuff. But there's a lot of problem solving and critical thinking that gets lost in that process sometimes. So yeah,
critical thinking, that's the word that's what we're looking for.
Yeah. And my quick point after you said about, you know, the phishing, that teaching how to recognize an email that is a spam and phishing and other, you know, trapped that we find at the social engineering level. Do you guys find that the reaction when you teach this thing, it's kind of like a situation, like they had no idea? Or is something that you're like, oh, I always wanted to know about more about this because somebody introduced me to this concept? I'm kind of curious because I think that you have this first view into the mind of these new generations. And I'm just curious to know if they're already prepared and coming from a background that where maybe the family taught them about that a little bit, or maybe in school they did that, or they're completely oblivious about what's going on.
Yeah, I think, first of all, when we were looking at the feedback and what the students wanted to learn, cybersecurity was actually one of the top topics that they wanted to learn. So from my perspective, I feel like these students know how important cybersecurity is. and how relevant it is to be able to know how to be secure online, especially in today's modern world of technology. And I also think that they are in realization that there are certain methods or like tips that you can use to stay safe online, but they're just not sure on how they can actually utilize these cybersecurity practices in their own lives. So I think they're really eager to learn about them, and they may have heard about the dangers of cyber attacks or all of these dangers online, but I don't think they actually know how to apply that into their own lives. And I think that's what they're really trying to learn.
I think too that it's kind of a mixture of the students we get in terms of them like being really enthusiastic, having background knowledge, coming in just trying to expand their knowledge on a certain topic versus someone coming in not knowing much and then getting like a revelation of, whoa, this is really cool. Because of course, some people, they go out and they try to sign up for these kinds of things. Other people, their parents maybe force them to. And I think there's like, there's good and bad sides to that. Maybe they'll find that they love it. Mm-hmm. And so yeah, we get both of those types of students, I think.
Yeah, and Ellen, as we get close-ish to the end here, maybe just on that last point, you can talk about kind of the makeup of the team, because the students, because they're from all over the place, not just boys, right? So maybe touch a little bit on that. And I want to connect that to perhaps the other event that I think you're putting together around entrepreneurship, right? So it's not just building stuff, but it's creating innovation, being innovative.
Yeah, for sure. First of all, for our demographic, like you said, we definitely try to have everyone included in our classes. And specifically, now that we're moving forward, we're trying to target more Title I schools or students who might not have as many opportunities as other students that grow up in more urban areas, I guess. So
what's a Title I school?
Oh, yeah. A Title I school are schools that have relatively low funding or they're in more like rural areas. So schools that might not have the same level of like education or technology integrated into their curriculum. So we really want to provide them with another way of going outside of their school curriculums and learning about technology or business. And one of the things we were thinking of doing, and also going back to how we can leverage technology to help spread our reach, is that we were thinking of going and creating a curriculum via YouTube to serve as a co-curricular education to these Title I schools or other schools that might not even be in California, or they might be in other states in the US or even across the globe. So Ashton, do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, definitely. So for the YouTube idea, we were thinking about how there are a lot of channels and different websites right now that give so many videos teaching so many different things. Like if you look at Khan Academy, the Organic Chemistry Tutor, it's just all free, just there for anyone to learn. And we thought that really intertwined with our ideas about expanding education, giving these curriculums to people that originally wouldn't have known or been able to access it. So then we thought we could take these classes that we're teaching, teach them in front of a camera as well as actually with the students, and just post it online. So for example, anybody that wasn't able to make the class, maybe didn't hear about the class when it originally happened, they could still get access to the exact same learning and everything. And we thought it was a really good idea because it was it increased access to this education for a lot of people.
Yeah, that's a very good idea. We have learned that when you do something live at that specific hour, even if you think that everybody's at home ready to get on it, people get more distracted or they have something else going on and maybe they would just watch 10 minutes of it. So the fact that you're creating an archive for all of this, I think it's extremely, extremely valuable.
Yeah, and going along that same idea of targeting Title I schools or low-income areas, another event that we've been planning, which is a cybersecurity program that we've touched upon, We're actually hoping to target students of military families in correspondence with the Department of Defense, because we really hope to give students who might be interested or don't have as many opportunities the opportunity to learn about cybersecurity and really get that hands-on perspective in case they do find that they're interested and want to go into it as a future career. And going along with what Sean mentioned about the entrepreneurship summit that we've been planning, so the next event, as mentioned, is a global technology or entrepreneurship summit, because we really want the students to be able to learn from these industry professionals and gain insights into the potential career paths that they can go into. So we're hoping to also combine this aspect of entrepreneurship, because we discovered that many students are interested in also business. So once they have an idea with tech, they're interested in how can they build something from the ground up and actually bring it to the market. And that's why we decided to include more of that entrepreneurship aspect as well as that technology aspect. So Ashton or Radon, do you want to talk a bit more about that?
Yeah, the entrepreneurship aspect of it is, I think, kind of gets lost sometimes. Again, like with the whole programming, just syntax, grind out code. I think people really forget about that whole like creative aspect and building a company, those kinds of things. So yeah, we really want to push that. That's part of the reason why we do teach business classes as well. I know I sometimes get questions from students like, why do you have Python classes and then a business class? They're not related at all. And I say, no, they're related. You should take both of them. And you'll greatly benefit from knowing both, especially in the workforce.
Oh, they're very related. Sean, you want to tell something about it?
Well, yeah, I think, we do this for a reason, right? And yes, it should be fun. And hopefully, we're fulfilled with the work that we do as well. But typically, we're building things to drive the business, and we're doing security to protect the business that we're growing. And that's really what it's all about. So it's about connecting the technology and the protection of the technology and the business, and what we call the business of security. So how do we bring value out of all the stuff that we're doing beyond just being cool?
And also, how do you get the budget when you are a CISO or somebody on the information technology security department of a company? How are you going to go and tell the stories to the board where you need the budget, and it's not that you can always use, and actually we don't do that anymore, at least we shouldn't use the fear to get breached, the fear to get attacked, but actually to see that cybersecurity is an investment for a business, and it adds value to the product that you do have. So I think that the business curriculum that you have and the technology and the cybersecurity, at the end, it comes under the same umbrella, and you cannot be effective in the business unless you want to stay in a garage coding all day long, or in an office, or you know where it is, in a cubicle. If you want to be part of the business, you do need to tell these stories and understand why and what you're securing.
And there's so much more than just the coding aspects of it, as well as Mark was alluding to. He talked about the budget, but there's program management, and there's team management, and there's working with the board to help drive policy at the government level, perhaps, to make things better. I mean, it's just so widespread, the opportunities. So the business end of it, the entrepreneurship end of it, coupled with the tech and the cyber, I think is beyond thrilling, all the work that you guys and gals are doing.
Yep, absolutely. And because this is an important conversation, Ellen, we're not ending here.
Yeah.
Right? What's going on? What is happening soon?
Yeah. So there's many more conversations to come. And as Elevate the Future, a global organization, we're really happy to be able to have these conversations, and we're hoping to have a lot more. So I guess now's a good time to announce it.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so we'll be having an Elevate the Future podcast on ITSP Magazine. And on this podcast, we'll share about the different aspects of technology, entrepreneurship, computer science, social good, and really that intersection of combining an idea with technology and allowing students to hear about what they can do with their own hands-on experiences. So really, this will be a great opportunity for students. And we already have a lot of guests lined up from industries or young entrepreneurships and professionals that we are bringing on to share insights and really talk about their experience and how they got to where they are.
Yeah, I couldn't be more excited. And I think Mark and I were chatting as we were going along here, chatting offline here, that the work you're doing to bring together all the students from different places together with business and industry and thought leaders and innovators and government and nonprofit. I mean, you have this vision of connecting all these dots. And I'm so excited to hear these conversations. Marco and I get to step back and get to listen to them now. it's gonna be really cool.
Yeah, I'm absolutely looking forward to this because even if we talk about the same thing, coming from a different angle, like the younger generation angle, even if we use the same title for a podcast and the same topic, it's going to be a completely different story. So I am excited to even hear your side of certain story that maybe we have already tried to cover with other people, either from the business perspective or the technology perspective or the Department of Defense, whatever it is. I'm so looking forward to hear your voice, the voice of your guest. And again, it's an honor to have you having this podcast on ITSP Magazine with us.
Yeah, we're really excited too. So thanks so much for allowing us to have these conversations because we really have a lot to share and we're really excited to do that.
Yep. Looking forward to that.
So itspmagazine.com/elevate the future with dashes between there. You can find those episodes and more importantly, there are links to Elevate the Future's resources from there, but elevatethefuture.org to hear all of the stuff going on with this amazing team.
To make it easy, if you are on Twitter, just go to look for ITSP Magazine, and then from there we're going to post every time that there is a new podcast. So you don't want to miss any of those.
Definitely not. I'm not going to miss any of them, that's for sure.
Me neither. All right, Alan. So thank you very, very much. And we're looking forward to what you guys are going to do next. And Ashwin and Radwan, it was a pleasure to have you on again. And I'm sure we'll hear your voice.
Yes, familiar voices in the future.
On the podcast.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Devo unlocks the full value of machine data for the world's most instrumented enterprises. The Devo Data Analytics Platform addresses the explosion in volume of machine data and the crushing demands of algorithms and automation. Learn more at devo.com. BugCrowd's award-winning platform combines actionable contextual intelligence with the skill and experience of the world's most elite hackers to help leading organizations identify and fix vulnerabilities, protect customers, and make the digitally connected world a safer place. Learn more at bugcrowd.com. We hope you enjoyed this conversation. If you learned something new and this story made you think, then share itspmagazine.com with your friends, family, and colleagues. If you represent a company and wish to associate your brand with our conversations, sponsor one or more of our podcast channels. We hope you will come back for more stories and follow us on our journey. You can always find us at the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society.